The Shortcode Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcode Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcode.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcode Podcast, a production of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. Welcome, Hannah Van Aert.
Hey.
Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, you did.
To the show. Also, we've got Kyle Kinder.
Hello.
Arisa Mahapan.
As usual.
And Aline Sanduk.
Hi.
Also as usual. Mm-hmm. On the show today, and I'm very happy you're all here, and I hope you don't mind. I want to harvest your young plasma in an effort to reverse my own aging, which during our last show, Arisa pointed out was quite advanced.
You're going to need a lot of plasma, man.
No.
Sorry.
Now, this past Tuesday, the FDA did issue a statement that this is a bad idea. Apparently, there are clinics that out there that say that it will treat dementia, MS, heart disease, PTSD. Not really sure how that works.
Where are they getting this information?
I don't know. I don't know if they're getting...
I think it's a Vampire Diaries or a Vampire Chronicles like that. You know, when she like bathes in virgin's blood.
That amazing... That amazing source of medical knowledge,
yeah.
Twilight.
Google.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
Oh Buffy would never.
Okay, Professor.
Dave just dated himself.
Yeah. Angel. My wife is watching old episodes of Buffy and Angel, where they appear on each. So, yeah, they appear. She's taking them in order as they each appear on the other shows.
The crossover.
Yes.
Is she interspersing them with Seventh Heaven?
No,
no, because she has good taste.
Yes. Sorry. It's a lovely show.
What a callback.
Anyway, I've set aside those concerns about evidence and science. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to lean back, close your eyes, and let me do what needs doing.
Okay.
So that I may once again be young, beautiful, and sexy.
Mm. Cute evil laugh.
Yeah, well, I told you that you're more than willing to have some of mine, but I just want you to know that I'm actually not allowed to donate blood.
Mm.
So take that with whatever you mean.
All right. Well, you know, it's plasma, right? I mean, the plasma is just the clean stuff.
Yeah. Is that how it works, guys?
Plasma?
Isn't the plasma the clean stuff? It doesn't have any. I'm full of crap.
Sorry.
That's obvious.
Not the red stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't want to be responsible for contributing to bad science in this world. Listener Rachel wrote to theshortcoats@gmail.com, and she is worried that her professional background prior to med school will be a hindrance. Let's hear from Rachel.
Hi, Shortcoats. My name is Rachel, and I am a current post-baccalaureate pre-medical student and work full-time. I plan to take the MCAT next spring in hopes of attending medical school.
Up until
I went to college, I'd always wanted to be a doctor. But during college, I was introduced to the field of law and thought it would perhaps be a better fit for me. After graduation, I found myself working as a consultant paralegal for a medical malpractice group. I love the part of my job where I get to consult with physicians but tend to dislike the legal aspect of it all. I understand why the field of medical malpractice exists, but sometimes it makes me sick to my stomach. This experience has made me realize that I have absolutely no desire to be an attorney and I want to dedicate my life to medicine. The legal intricacies of practicing as a physician are the realities that doctors in this era face. However, I worry that the term medical malpractice and my background in the legal industry will be a turnoff to future medical schools. Do you all have any thoughts on this?
Oh.
Wow.
That was freaky.
That was kind of weird.
Rachel was temporarily possessed.
Yeah.
The
Matrix.
So essentially,
her for a second
like,
there.
She worked for a Japanese whaling fleet and now she wants to join Greenpeace. Right?
Hey, you don't know. She could have been the medical malpractice lawyer defending doctors.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I really don't think that that's I don't think that's hardly a disqualifying thing, or that's hardly something that I'd hold against her.
I'd agree with that. I feel like not even all the people interviewing you are physicians. They're usually like just faculty in general, which kind of spans the spectrum. And like the expression medical malpractice could be like a trigger, but I don't think it would necessarily be such a turnoff that she would suffer in her competitiveness because of it.
Yeah. I can tell you that in our school, the interview part, well, actually, this is probably irrelevant. I was going to say that the interview part of it is separate from the decision-making part of the process in our school. So the people doing the interviews don't have a hand in actually deciding whether or not somebody will ultimately be admitted. But I'm not sure that that's relevant, because the people on the admissions committee are actually mostly physicians or PhDs. But I don't know.
Yeah, I really wouldn't.
My gut says no, absolutely not. It's not going to be an issue for them. And I would say that you can talk about it in a way that makes it relevant to your application. I mean,
if anything, it seems that she has a lot of experience of the social and like practical aspects of medicine. And I think that's great. We need people from a lot of different backgrounds with a lot of different life experiences.
Yeah.
The key to any prior experience that you have is, what did you learn? Not what did you do?
Unless you killed someone, then that's bad.
Yeah. Well,
you can learn from that.
You can learn from that. Though.
Yeah. It's generally frowned upon in medical practice.
Improve your don't technique. Do. Yeah.
I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Oh,
troubleshoot. Hannah better next right time. There,
I will never attach a chest tube to a vacuum anymore.
Good idea.
Something like that.
Good idea. That's something you can learn. Yeah. I mean, you can learn from you can talk about what you learned and put a very positive spin. And I don't even think it needs a particular spin. It just needs to be like,
doesn't even need a spin. It's MBD.
Because you're gonna talk about your prior career during your interviews. I mean, that's just inevitable. And you'll get a chance to show off what you learned from it. And if you're halfway insightful about it, I think it will be fine.
Yeah. I think it's unique too. So that's always a plus.
Yeah. And to add to that, is the postscript. I think the way that she described it in her question, it also like adds to the credibility that like she's coming to med school for the right reason. Her reasons for not wanting to go is because of how predatory malpractice law can be. And I think if she, I think if she tells the schools where she applied, you know, what she told us about how it changed her view of the medical profession and the legal profession, that seems really authentic to me.
Yeah.
So in other words, girl NBD.
Yeah.
I think.
I also think that, you know, prior experience in the working world, just in general, is a good thing. It's not.
Yeah, I was going to talk about, like, the soft skills that you learn, like working in groups. How do you communicate effectively, et cetera, et cetera.
And she has a lot to draw on because she worked with physicians. She understands some of the issues that physicians face. She could even consider an MD-JD, which we can do here at the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. And I'm sure that other schools will figure out a way to make that work if they don't officially have that, or hopefully they will. So, you know, if you wanted to combine your medicine and law background, you could do that.
But she just said that she doesn't want anything to have to do with law anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, you could. Sometimes when you know, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. Sometimes when you combine two things, you come up with something delicious.
Yeah.
MDJD.
Which is really cool, unless you're allergic to peanuts.
Unless you're allergic.
Then you ruin both of the combinations.
True. So be careful. Be careful, Rachel. You may die.
Your MDJD may not be a PB&JC.
That's true. So good luck with that. Let us know how it goes. When the day comes that you take when you apply to medical school, let us know how you are received. I'm certain that it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yep. Good luck on your MCAT.
Most definitely.
And I was going to say that, you know, we had at Trivia Night this past week, the podcast had a team, which I won't say who in this room didn't show up for the for the trivia team. You are both fully absolved. Okay. I know you found other things that you needed to do.
I was not well.
You found other things that you needed to do, and that's fine.
Turned out I was a lot less well-learned in a certain subject than I thought that I had to test the next day on.
Oh, yeah. I totally get that.
Hey, guys, happens in medical school, too.
But what I was going to say is we came in, I believe, sixth, which, you know, midway through the pack, you know. Nice. But the people who won... Medical Malpractice was their team name, and they were from the law school.
Oh, seriously? Actually? No, I should have been there.
Sour.
How did they even...
So I hope you guys feel shitty.
I was going to say. I thought it was just Carver College people.
I don't... Yeah.
No, technically, it's a public event. Anyone can sign up.
I think there's a relationship between CCOM students and
There are a lot of MD-JD couples, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
At Carver.
Yeah, why are they all getting married?
You're welcome to give the United Action for Youth your money through our Trivia Night fundraiser. That's fine.
No matter what your background.
That's right. And if you want to be jerks and name your team Medical Malpractice... You're also welcome to do that.
I'm going to join them next year.
Yes.
So
next
gutsy.
Year we'll field a team called, I don't know, Let's Not Save the Lawyers When I Have a Heart Attack.
Okay. We'll just look the other way.
Oh, wow. No, I was the first thing I thought was, glycerin enemas.
Glycerin enemas for lawyers. That's what our team name will be next year. It'll be sweet.
There was in lecture the other day, I don't remember who was talking about it, but they said the phrase, oh, it's colder than a lawyer's heart.
Oh,
and nice. Everyone laughed.
Nice.
Right.
I know.
Harsh. Hey, you know He Zhangqi, the Chinese genetic researcher who genetically engineered two actual fetuses so they became immune to HIV and were eventually born and raised an international ruckus? Mm.
Not by that pronunciation, it didn't. No, I'm joking, sorry.
So how did I do?
I don't know. I'm not Chinese.
I have heard... Okay, so I wondered because... I mean, I know you're not Chinese, but it's been pronounced many different ways, and I'm not really sure which is the right. So I just picked the NPR pronunciation.
You're joking, Derek.
But it turns out they may also, these twins, who they may also be super beings gifted with high intelligence due to his meddling. MIT Technology Review reports that new research suggests that when Zhangqi, or He, I guess is how...
He
removed their CCR5 gene with CRISPR-Cas9. He may also have made them smarter, improved their potential recovery from stroke, and increased their chances of greater success in school. HIV requires the CCR5 gene to enter human blood cells, but he would also have known since 2016 that a lack of CCR5 is associated in mice with enhanced cognition and memory. And the California researcher who discovered the role of CCR5 said that when he heard of the twins called Lulu and Nana, which is not a detail that I knew before, he suspected that this may have been the goal all along. Now, He has... stated that he is against genome editing for enhancement. But the same team that discovered CCR5 has also found that humans without CCR5 regain motor control after stroke more quickly, and that a CCR5 agonist, which was developed for treating HIV infection, also produces similar effects in stroke patients. So.
We've already got a population running around with the same mutation they do.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're
hardly winning a Nobel Peace Prize.
But see, to put on my conspiracy hat, maybe this is the Chinese, the first shot fired in the Chinese desire to create a country full of super smart people to take over the world.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I would want to create a country full of super smart people resistant to disease and who like and immune to like the many pathos of aging. I'd love to do that.
I mean, that's assuming, Dave, that they haven't already.
Well, that's true.
Did you put on a Southern accent? I was like, how did I not notice that before?
That was a very good one, too, because it wasn't like super. Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Subtle.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's possible. I love me a conspiracy theory.
I mean, the Chinese government historically has invested in efforts like this. Like, for example,
plus, we haven't. But anyway.
No,
yeah,
of course.
Just saying.
Agreed.
The 60s were real, man.
Yeah.
The thing I was thinking of in particular are, like, the Olympic training schools.
Oh, yeah.
That they have, you know, where they really recruit kids at a very, very young age. And basically that child's entire life is just training for the Olympics.
Oh, not just Olympics, but actually I'm online friends. I'm not sure what to call it. I'm online friends with someone who was one of those children, but not for the Olympics. It's for performing arts and acrobatics, specifically playing the Chinese yo-yo.
No kidding.
No, that is the only skill she has.
Hang on just a second.
And Overwatch. She's really good at Overwatch, the video game.
So
that's how we met.
So she was raised from a young age to play with a Chinese yo-yo?
Yeah, for acrobatics. And then later on, she specializes in, like, you know, that Chinese yo-yo thing. You see a lot of performers, like in Cirque du Soleil, that Vegas show with the naked people.
There's a few of them.
No. Sorry, you can see them a lot in, like, circus shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was originally, She doesn't really have
any... Oh, Diablo!
Oh, that thing.
Oh, that was such a big deal when I was a kid.
It's almost like the two sticks with a string between them, and you, like, roll a hootus back and forth between the two. And...
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we already...
What's a hootus?
It's like a ding-dong. I mean, not a ding-dong. Like a dingus. It's a doodad.
It's a whatchamacallit.
Yeah. A thingamajig.
The chingadera.
Yeah. I woke up at 2:45 this morning today. I want to warn everybody I have very little.
Yeah, all right.
Dave, me too. My neighbor was doing something upstairs all day. It was dump, 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 yeah. Dump, dump, dump. All night. I got 2 hours of sleep and I'm so hyped up.
I wish I had a reason for that. So, okay. Well, I didn't know there was the Chinese were creating a...
Master race of
a
yo-yo
race of
players.
Yo-yo players.
No, I'm just saying that this kind of thing, kind of predetermining a child and putting them through very rigorous practice, maybe even genetic practice nowadays, to make them very, very good at a very specific thing. That's old hat.
Okay.
So, do we know what happened to him ultimately? I know the last week we talked about.
Well, we know he was fired.
We know he hasn't been seen in public for a
while. No, he has actually. He cropped back up. He was terminated from his profession or his job at the whatever university he worked for, and that's the last I've noticed of his.
Yeah,
but he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of skeptical about the whole, you know, they're gonna execute him or something like that.
No, I don't think that was outside of the realm of possibility.
China.
Do you still believe, Aline? You said on the show you were like, I don't believe the whole thing. I think it's all crap.
I think it's all hype. Until we see them, it didn't happen.
Okay.
It did not happen.
Phew, I am really glad that I'm not the only one who's thinking... Because, seriously, you can't even get CRISPR to go into the right cell on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't there really debate, too, about how immune these girls are? Like, isn't one of them, not really that immune and one of them's questionable immunity?
I don't know. How are you even testing that?
Yeah, until they get, yeah.
Until, like, you, I, oh my God, I, we are not going to infect the girls with AIDS.
But wait, couldn't they infect a cell in vitro?
Or blood HIV. In theory? Mm-hmm. That's not ethical, but I guess their whole conception is less than ethical, too. So I don't know where we're drawing this ethical line.
Is it? Yeah. It's not ethical to infect cells in vitro?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant you were talking about trying to
No.
Shoot them up with HIV.
No.
Or
God,
something.
No.
I think Dave literally meant isolating the T cells, right? And infecting them in a flask.
That's very generous of you to think that I meant something sciencey. I mean, I did.
Dave is actually also a grad student, and that's exactly what he meant.
I guess that's what I meant now that you mention it.
Yeah, I made the logical leap for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I think one of them is heterozygous and the other is homozygous.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we still have never seen them.
And I guess we probably shouldn't because, you know, they're individuals. No matter how they were conceived and made and all that kind of stuff, they are individuals and
respect their inner humanity.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm really not
that. Aline, on the other hand, doesn't give a shit. She wants to see the proof right the F now.
I want a circus act. I want them to be traveling around the world. I'm just kidding.
With
that's
yo-yos.
That's right. Well, did he even ever publish the findings? Or was it just at that conference in Beijing where he talked about, where he introduced the idea?
Yeah, I think he I'm having trouble pulling this out. I'm not really sure.
I haven't seen anything, and a couple of the other MSTP students in my class are into it.
Oh, okay.
And so if they haven't found the paper, I don't know if it exists.
Fair. Yeah. So, like, so far, it's all just hearsay. Meh. It's all just hearsay. Like, we haven't actually seen the subjects. We haven't, you know, had access to any of, like, their, you know, specimens. Right, right. So
a lot of talk about something that doesn't exist, though. I mean, I suppose that's the internet in a nutshell, but or at least 2019 in a nutshell, 2018 in a nutshell. Yeah. So.
Besides, even okay, theoretically, even if they did exist, and theoretically, even if he was successful, I mean, I hardly think this is the first shot. This is any first shot in any like Gattaca style.
Nice reference for your age. That's impressive.
How old are you? How old do you think I am?
97.
No, I don't play that game.
Okay, never mind.
There's a lot of potential for feelings to get hurt, mainly mine.
So. What do you mean? She doesn't give a shit about my feelings about age. She's all like, Dave, you're a shriveled raisin. You.
But Dave, you know I love geriatrics. It's a compliment practically coming from me.
I should take it as a compliment.
I think Gattaca came out in like 1998.
Also,
I'm amazing at guessing years in which movies came out.
Well, you look it up and tell us if you're right.
I watched Gattaca in AP Bio in high school.
It was a very good movie, like effectively.
I still haven't seen it. I've been meaning really to see it. Is it on Netflix? Is it anywhere I can find?
You can find anything.
I watch it on a VCR. I don't know if it's on Netflix.
Oh, Blockbuster, I think.
1997.
Pretty good, though. So that was pretty good.
Very nice.
Nice.
It was released on VHS. Just to like to let you know, just to date it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Love anyway, a good VHS.
I have a long history on the show of falling for clickbait articles about new organs and that have been discovered and things like that. And you guys relish the chance to tell me that we already knew about that organ, Dave. But see, I think this one might actually be real.
Okay. Bring it.
Neuroscientists at Case Western have discovered an entirely new form of neural communication, according to the headlines I have read. One that we did not know about before. So, Irisa.
Hi.
Or Aline.
Okay.
Take me through the forms that we are currently aware of. Synaptic transmission, axonal transport, and gap junction connections.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah, so what are they?
So basically, you have an electrical impulse that travels down from the body of a neuron.
By the way, nobody listening needs this but me.
I mean, it's electrical impulses traveling down one neuron, which triggers the release of molecules into the space between two neurons. And then as those, you know, chemicals travel across that space and access the dendrites of the neck of the dendrites on the body of the next neuron, that also triggers there's more to it than that, but that's essentially it. Mm-hmm. It's an interplay between electrical impulses triggering the release of compounds that, you know, sort of create this loop.
So these are all...
Beautifully put.
Yeah, so these are all chemical...
No, it's a mix of both.
It's electrochemical.
Yeah.
But I mean, So I was trying to figure this out because the electrical things that happen are due to chemical reactions, essentially, right?
The transmission of
the electric signal is like a little switch telling the cell to release the chemical, so it's kind of like a light switch.
Mm-hmm. But it is induced in the next cell by activation of ion channels that allow changes in the membrane potentials and stuff like that.
Okay. Exactly. That's what I was going to say, is that there are voltage-gated channels that, like, as the potential across the membrane changes, it allows the transport of different ions that have various charges that then change the potential across the membrane.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very smart.
Well, and aren't there, like, can't you also have direct neuron-neuron communication via gap junctions too?
One of my research projects was previously on that, but didn't pan out. We're looking at direct neuron to neuron communication, not through electric or not through chemical stuff, just, you know,
like for talking to each other. I thought that covered the water fund, electrical or chemical.
Oh no, like cardiac cells. Some cardiac cell, wait, is that right?
I'm trying to remember.
Cells with gap junctions. Oh my God, step one was a long time ago.
I'm thinking of the neuromuscular junction, actually.
Oh, I think for my project that I was working on. Sorry,
I don't know anything about that, so I'll let you handle that one.
Well, this new discovery is that nerves also communicate by electric fields, and that it happens when the brain shows slow waves of neural oscillations, like those that occur when we sleep, and it can occur in vitro even when there is a complete gap but close proximity between two tissue samples. The Journal of Physiology, in which the results were published, insisted that the experiments be completed again before they agreed to print, even and even the investigators called them jaw-dropping results.
I mean, that has a lot of implications, right? Anyone living next to a, you know, those electrical towers.
Yeah, like what if, what if your fridge was talking to you? What if that's all not bullshit?
Wait, this may be a few leaps in logic, but so like the whole tinfoil around the head thing, that may not be all that crazy.
Yeah, I've got one under my wig.
What wig?
It's not a very good wig.
It's a tinfoil.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
No, but actually tinfoil, tin is actually a pretty good conductor, isn't it? So actually tinfoil would make you more, okay, never mind. Put a Faraday cage around your head. Yeah, I'm just going to stop there.
But look, this is just going to set off a whole new, like, oh, cell phones are bad and living near transmission towers is bad. And that's my prediction.
I mean, I know someone who turns off their Wi-Fi when they're not using it because they don't like the, even just the prospect of like.
What is this phrase, when they're not using it, that your Wi-Fi? Can it
be turned off?
I didn't even know that it was possible not to use Wi-Fi at any given moment in the day.
That's fair.
Yeah. I remember when I was visiting a friend in Germany, this is like peripherally related, but it was an interesting like cultural difference that like when I got to my friend's family's house, I needed to log on to their internet to email my parents to let them know I got, you know, to that city safely. And they were like, oh, okay, let me show you to the one computer that we have in the house. And it was like, it had like a tube screen. This was just a couple of years ago. And so they had me dial up and then log in and then email. And then when I came back downstairs, they were like, you disconnected, right? And then you turned it off, right?
This is not cultural. No.
No, like they were.
They're like, hang on, let me fire up the shortwave.
No, but like they didn't like the internet. Yeah, actually, that was pretty good. They just didn't like the computer being connected to the internet on a permanent basis, like only when they needed it.
That's probably not terribly unsmart.
Yeah.
So far, they've observed this in mice brain tissue samples in vitro. So more investigation is needed as to whether or not it's a thing in humans, but why the hell not?
Well, we know pigeons can sense a magnetic field and plenty of there are lots of insects that navigate by it.
Maybe that's this is the key.
Yeah. So maybe that's related. But either way, that is super cool. I have no doubt that someone's going to try to spin it into like some weird conspiracy theory thing.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the people who wear those metal bracelets be like, I told you. Yeah. You laughed at us when you tried to tell him.
Totally improved my golf swing.
Cured my gallbladder. Sorry. Like, yeah, because there's nothing wrong with your gallbladder, Uncle. It was not your.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it? Are we talking about metal and the gallbladder? Is there a relationship?
It's
there
a really long story, and I have a strange family.
Okay.
Okay.
No. We have time for you to tell it.
So he's not really my uncle.
Okay. Well, we don't have to go that.
Okay. Sorry. Never mind. This is going. Well, yeah, he was having like indigestion and stomach problems that now I recognize as the symptoms of GERD.
Oh, right.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so he got the traditional Chinese medicine version of the metal thing. It's not like bracelet you see on TV. It was just a metal band that went around his hand, but it looked really different from that. Anyways, he was convinced that was what cleared his gallbladder and like. You know, because his whole theory was like, yeah, my gal is being stopped up within my body. And because of an imbalance of that, that's why I'm feeling sick and like depressed and have this really bad bloating. I'm like, it's GERD, it's GERD, it's GERD, it's GERD, it's GERD. Nope.
Yeah.
Is his gal being stuck up in his liver, I guess? I don't know. It just got really strange.
Gotta let that gall free.
Yeah. Gall. You have the gals to suggest that.
What is gall? It's not gall. Bile.
That's
right.
Yeah.
There we go.
It okay. can be gall if okay. you want.
There are the galls, it which is like,
dude, it's one in the four humors or something like that. Okay, so
all right.
That's where we're, that's a direction we're headed off in.
Kyle, you were on a show back in September in which we heard from listener Fifi Trixie Bell.
Oh yeah, Fifi.
Who she wanted to know at the time whether we thought keto was a fad. I admitted I skipped a previous email from her on the topic of obesity because I was triggered by it. And thus, the email that I responded to eventually set off a series of episodes featuring comments and a minor revolt from listeners about obesity and nutrition. Remember all that?
Yes.
Yeah. and then I was like, I'm never talking about nutrition again or obesity. This is terrible.
It's controversial.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she wrote in apologizing for setting off the diet wars of 2018. And also to point out a 2015 article about how Iowa is the number one state for being American.
That's right.
Oh, that's
USA! Right. Yeah. USA! The, USA!
What does that even mean?
So this is based on a few different... This is in from the real estate company blog called Stately.com. It's based on bald eagles per square mile. Olympic gold medals won per capita.
That's right.
Astronauts born in each state per capita. Fast food restaurants per capita. Mm. Total Major League Baseball players born in each state.
I'm liking this criteria.
Percentage of homes with firearms. Percentage of Facebook users in each state expressing an interest in United States of America. And Google searches for Bin Laden dead.
Wow. Half of those searches came from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wanted to point out that Iowa is number one in the country.
I'm so glad to be here.
It's pretty, I don't want to say typical, because that has a negative connotation, but like when I think of like American-Americans, Iowans are kind of fit the description.
We're a breadbasket, maybe. You Californians.
We're the heartland.
You Californians. Yeah. By the way, Kyle and Arisa, you're both from California. I don't know where Hannah is from.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. And Aline is not from the U.S. At all.
I lived in Virginia,
okay,
which is also pretty
American.
We'll use that as your... let's see. California comes in 43rd.
Oh, thank God I'm an Iowan.
And, you're an Iowan. I keep thinking you're from California.
Now? No, I am. I just call myself from Iowa. Oh,
okay,
now.
You've just decided that you're an Iowan.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wisconsin.
I bet we're up there, too. Mm-hmm. Number 4 or 5, maybe.
Oh, you think so?
I'm
you're
12.
13.
Oh. And surprising. I know, very surprising.
And you said Virginia, Aline, which is number 37.
Oh, makes sense.
My home state of Massachusetts is...
Okay, that's where the country was basically born.
Yeah, but it's 34th.
Oh. So,
based on these criteria.
Who's I was last? About to say, I think the criteria is...
A little
who's the least American?
It's a little
off
least?
The boat.
So let's do a little let's do a little game here. Let's do a little game of pop quiz.
USA.
Oh, that didn't work. Little game of pop quiz that I like to spring on you every once in a while.
All right. He needs like a really long, like skinny microphone. You know?
Yeah,
just like surveying people from the audience.
And a little bit more hair.
The old Price is Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Love that show.
Arisa?
Yes.
You're just cruising for a bruising.
Sorry. Please don't bruise me.
I don't need hair. I'm evolved beyond hair.
Okay.
Like John Pianta. which state is first in fast food restaurants per capita? Here's your choices: Florida, Nevada, West Virginia, Washington.
Florida.
Florida.
Alabama.
That wasn't one of the
options. I don't care. I don't care.
West Virginia?
How did you get into med school with the answer?
Terrible test taking.
Ask the admissions committee. I still don't know.
So, Florida was a top choice. And you guessed West Virginia.
Yeah. I was going to say Alabama or Mississippi, though, if those were one of the options.
It's Nevada. Nevada.
Oh, interesting.
It's in last place among all states for being American, though.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why. Well, and based on, things
eagles.
Like bald eagles.
Yeah, bald eagles. That's it. It's the bald eagles. Not many of those in the middle of the desert.
They're all those are right down at the bottom, except for fast food. Okay. Which state is the least America-y in terms of liking the USA on Facebook? We have our choices are Massachusetts, Oregon, New Jersey, or California.
I was in California.
Oh, sorry.
California.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Oregon.
I'm going to say Oregon, too, because I'm not sure if they have internet there.
Okay. Why? Okay. Did you have a guess, Aline?
I said California.
Okay, so California is correct. California's 43rd overall, as we said before.
Up top, dude.
Holla.
All of these are toward...
Nice. That was good.
All of these are toward the bottom of the rankings, Massachusetts. Hmm. And they're all, except for California... So Massachusetts, Oregon, and New Jersey are all, for some reason, ranked 47th, which leads me to question the validity of this ranking.
Weren't they actually the United States for a while?
I was going to say, you would expect the 13 colonies just by seniority.
Well, I just don't understand how three states can rank 47th in a listing of 1 to 50.
Like maybe they all tied.
Surely there was like 1 or 2 points difference between each. Did they all exactly tie on Facebook likes for USA? This makes no sense.
I think maybe like those 13 colony states though have just been here the longest and they're just fed up.
All right.
Well, maybe we don't.
They've had enough. They've seen the worst of it.
Yeah. Which state has the most bald eagles? We have Arizona, Texas, Texas. No. Alaska or Maryland?
Maryland.
Arizona.
I'm pretty sure it's Alaska because then there's a lot of them up there.
Oh, yeah. Are there? Well, I'm saying, like I really know.
Oh, well, there. No, because I think Iowa does have the most per capita, but like Alaska has the most period, doesn't it?
I'm going to say Texas, actually.
Maryland. All right. No, the true answer is Alaska. Which is 41st overall. Maryland is second, though.
Really?
So there you go. Rank order the following states in their Google searches for Bin Laden dead. Arizona, West Virginia, Oregon, and Alaska. Arizona, West Virginia, Oregon, and Alaska.
Okay, I vote West Virginia first.
I vote West Virginia first as well.
Yep.
Okay.
I put Oregon second.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Alabama third, maybe, if they have it. That's
not one of your choices. You have Arizona and Alaska left.
Ugh. I go West Virginia, Arizona. What did you say? What was yours?
And then
I said Oregon second.
Oh, okay.
But I can live with that.
I'm going to go with Arizona second.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Alaska last because I don't know if they have internet there.
I grew up in
Arizona. You with the internet and your assumptions. Anyway, go ahead.
I didn't say they don't. I just said I don't know if they have internet up there.
We're going to get a flood of Oregonians being like, how do you think we are?
I think it's West Virginia.
We have West Virginia first.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of you agreed, Arizona was second?
Yeah, Hannah was about to say.
Yeah, I grew up in Arizona, and I can attest to it seems like the place that people would search Bin Laden dead.
Okay.
A lot.
All right.
Not even a question mark. Not even is Bin Laden dead, just Bin Laden dead.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I mean, you guys are doing well. Oregon and Alaska. Alaska is third, and Oregon is fourth.
Oh, really?
And as you said, West Virginia is first, and Arizona.
I think Oregon is maybe saved by Portland, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that was okay. That was kind of fun. I was going to scrap that game. I kind of thought it was a little boring, you know.
No, that was fun.
Listeners, if you found that boring, be sure to write in and tell me how boring it was and how much of a waste of your time that was. I wanted to say thank you to Russian listener Sergei Isenikov, who pointed out to me that he wrote an article about us in a Russian publication. Actually, he didn't point out that he wrote the article. He pointed out that we were covered in Russian media. And then I very cleverly noted that the name of the person who wrote the article. And it's kind of convoluted, but his name on Facebook was in Cyrillic. And I wanted to know how to pronounce his name. So I was like, okay, well, I'll run this through, you know, the internet. And it came out to Sergey. And then I noticed that the person who wrote the article was Sergey. And then I ran his last name through the translator, and it came out that his last name was whatever it was, Isenikov. So anyway, I appreciate you writing an article about us. That's all I wanted to know. And you could have admitted that you wrote the article if you were, for some reason, feeling like you couldn't admit that you wrote the article about us. I don't care who writes articles about us.
He's a humble man.
He is a humble man.
We appreciate the PR.
The article's title, run through Google Translate, is Little Lecture, How Medicine Podcasts Win the Confidence of Ordinary Listeners and Try to Be More Interesting.
Oh, that's really cute. That's
that
really
last part sweet. Encapsulates us perfectly. We try to be interesting.
Try to be interesting. Yeah.
We do our best. And what it says is, all ideas about doctor in ordinary people are based only on well-known TV shows about doctors. Dr. House, Anatomy of Passion, Ambulance Clinic, etc. I'm going to suggest that maybe those last three might be Russian television shows. I don't know. Have you heard of Anatomy of Passion? No. It sounds
what
like
do
a,
you mean Grey's Anatomy?
It sounds like, those could be Russian titles of foreign TV shows, yeah.
God, I don't have a TV.
It could
Anatomy,
be...
Anatomy, or it could be a soap opera.
I'm thinking those shows are exported abroad, and that's like their closest approximation to describe the content of the show.
This week on Anatomy of Passion. TV shows about doctors and the stories of their friends who studied at medical, about sleepless nights, about huge volumes of textbooks, about a bad attitude during practice. But how is it taught in a medical higher education institution? Why it is difficult and what charms in a future possession can be found? It is not always said. Okay. The Short Code podcast is about that. Thanks to medical students from the University of Iowa, there is an opportunity to learn what it is like to study medicine.
So what translate tool did you use?
Google Translate is pretty good.
Yeah. It's not, Google Translate is getting pretty good.
Wow. Cool.
So anyway, I was pleased to see that we're gaining a following in Russia.
That's pretty exciting. Didn't we have a listener question from Australia?
We've had Spain, we've had now Russia, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Bring it on, foreign people.
I think I've mentioned before, too, that this podcast is the reason I even realized that Iowa had a medical school.
I love that. I haven't heard this multiple times. I never would have even thought of Iowa.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Oh, wasn't even on my radar.
Glad I could be here for you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Irisa, too. I listened to a lot of podcasts that you were on for a while. Yeah.
How did you... Maybe this is dangerous. When you listened to Irisa, did you form an opinion? Or me?
So did you... In other words, did you apply here because of Irisa or in spite of
Irisa? Or me? Or me?
I did. I applied. I felt I had to be a counter... balance to Irisa's presence here on the podcast. That was the only way I could serve the state of Iowa justice.
Here's my other question. When you finally saw me,
yes,
were you surprised at what you saw? Or were you like, oh yeah, that's him.
That's Dave. Yeah.
I thought you'd be taller.
I have my pictures all over the place.
No, actually, I when I first heard your voice, I thought you were a student. I thought you were a young man.
Yeah, well.
Are you implying he's not?
Everybody stop implying that I'm an elderly man. Stop implying that I'm an elderly man or I will suck your blood.
Or else you're going to yell us off your lawn?
Yes.
He writes our MSP letter, so we really should be nice to you.
Yeah, but the rank list is already done.
I'm like one of the older students in my class. We're kind of...
No, we're not.
Oh, we never got your age.
What?
Irisa.
Oh, somewhere near 30.
Okay. Plus or minus 7 years.
Sure. Oh, that's very generous.
All right. I'm anonymizing your age.
Okay, I was thinking more along the line plus 1 or 2 years, but sure.
Fair.
Okay. On either side of the 30 border.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, there's a lot of like 30 proximal people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The non-traditional student is kind of become traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, like plenty of us have worked like a while before coming here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hannah, you were a nurse.
Yeah, I got my undergrad.
I forgot to ask you what your background was.
I have my BSN. And I graduated from University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2015 with a BSN. And I kind of got into the world of MD-PhD because the same time I got into nursing school, I applied to a lab and was like, well, maybe I'll like this. And I totally did. And then the goal with nursing was always to do some sort of like advanced nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my wonderful mentors told me about MD PhD programs, and you could be the leader of the care team and also do research. And the more I looked into it, the more I really liked being able to see people in clinic and to work on diseases in, or have the skills to work on diseases in the lab. And so I was like, this is a really cool gig. So nice. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is pretty darn
you're a real,
cool.
You're a real asset to the program, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The nursing background is, it's nice.
I feel a little bit like I cheat the nursing background because I never worked really in a hospital. I did all of my clinicals in the hospital, but I did home health care after because I was still taking classes for medical school prereqs.
So you did that for how many, how long did you do that for?
I did home health care for 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
A
BSN doesn't have like a basic science coursework. You like mm-hmm. you go directly into like nursing school classes.
You have questionable basic science classes. So like the classes that I was told to take,
like electrical, living in an electrical field and how that
no, not like that.
Your brain,
not like that. But they were like the
blood transfusions from the young,
foundations of tinfoil headwear,
aromatherapy.
I did go to a real university, guys.
Okay. I'm sorry, misinterpreted.
Yeah. Accredited university. Thank you very much.
No, but it was mostly like science classes for non-science majors, and I was like, that's kind of
physics baloney. Of music was the non-science major science class that I took in college.
That's actually really cool, though.
To fulfill a prerequisite. Yeah.
Nice.
I like a lot of physics and music.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, one of my sister's classes, I think it was dinosaurs with an exclamation mark.
Oh, wow.
I love that. I took an astronomy course 1 year. I actually really loved it. It was cool.
At Berkeley, there was this really interesting course called Drugs and the Brain. Oh. And that was like the non-science major science course. And the professor, he wrote the textbook and like a lot of it were like
personal like experiences
accounts of apparently this is
from his journal
right
from the 70s
all types of
did you have to come to class stoned?
Many people did. Yeah. I'm sure.
What was the practical component of this? Yeah,
exactly.
So slightly unrelated but kind of cool, there's apparently a glass blowing class for scientists University of Iowa.
Yeah, I've heard of this. That would be so fun.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, there's no practical utility as far as I can tell because we just buy all of our glassware. But.
Like when we're back in the project that I was talking about with the neurons a while back, we actually had to pull our own electrodes out of glass. So,
Well, and at UW-Madison, the chemistry department employs its own glass blower, and any special glass that you need, he'll blow it for you. And he goes to like all the science demonstrations. He's really cool. I think there's a couple of them actually.
I love him already.
Yeah, he's really cool.
That's awesome.
So there is some. I burned a fuse on the thing on the machine once, and everyone got really mad at me. Oh. I went to the back room and cried. The Russians were very mad at me too.
Hannah, Arisa, Aline, Kyle, thank you for joining me on the show this week.
Kylie.
And thank you, listeners, for making us part of your week. If you like what you heard today, why not subscribe? I don't know why you would like what you heard today. You can benefit from our habit of answering listener questions. So send your questions or whatever you like to theshortcoats@gmail.com or reach out to us on social media. You can leave us a message at 347-SHORT-CT. We'll talk about it on the show. And don't forget to visit theshortcoat.com/store to buy some merch for charity. That would be swell. If we made you smile or gave you something to think about today, right now, while your podcast app is open, give us some stars and a review. It's a cheap and easy way to be a friend of the Short Code podcast and helps us know we're doing the right thing. The show is made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine student government and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox, and our closing music is by Catmosphere. Talk to you in 1 week.
Come back and see us, y'all.
Bye.